All right, praise the Lord. Welcome to the Living Savior Church today. We're so glad to have each one of you today. How many of you all know we got an election coming up in the very near future? As most of you probably have already heard, Obama, the president, tried to get God completely out of their platform. Of course, he caught so much flack over that, he had to put God back in their platform, supposedly. But when they put him back in, as all of you know, if you heard that at all, and I heard it two or three times, how they booed God. They don't want God. If the Democrats do not want God, and the Democrats believe in homosexuality, and they believe in abortion, and all these things they believe in, if I was a Democrat, I guess I'd have to leave the Democratic Party. I mean, if I was a Christian. But the most important election that has ever been in my lifetime is fixing to be in about 38 days. And in November, we're going to vote for a new president and new people in offices in certain places. If you are a Democrat, you need to come out of the Democratic Party and be something else. You cannot vote for somebody that believes the things that the Democratic Party believes in. I want us to turn to 2 Corinthians 6, start with verse 14. We have read this scripture lots of different ways, but I want you to look at this. Usually when I talk about this scripture, I'm talking about a man and a woman getting married, but this is not all it pertains to. It says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial," or the devil, "and what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Now, how many of you in here want to be sons and daughters of the Most High God? Okay, so what did he tell us to do with all these unbelieving people? He says, come out from among them and be ye separate. It's come down to the wire that we as Christians can no longer be a part of the world. When I see people that think that this Democratic group that's been in office in the last 4 years has done a good job, I shudder to think how little these people know. If you don't know it, most of the people in Washington, D.C. right now is there to destroy and kill you as a Christian. They have declared war on us as Christians. I mean, you know, they're going to do everything they can to annihilate us. And if we don't rise up now and do something, and if we don't pray while we still can pray, if we don't do what we're supposed to do as Christians now, and we have another election, then the same people get back in office that are in office now, I can almost guarantee you within the next year there will be a revolution, physical revolution, with guns and bullets shooting, killing, and destroying in the United States of America. When I listen to General Boykin, a retired three-star Army general that's been in all the high positions, he says that our high-up positions in Washington have been infiltrated by the Muslims. And many of the Muslims in high positions and power in Washington, D.C., in our government, in our military, and all these things, they have access to some of the most top secret information that's ever, and we trust them with this information. Well, let me tell you, if you've never done any research on a Muslim, they don't think like you think. You know, I can remember as a young boy, the first time I went into a little convenience store to get a Coke, and there was this brown man standing in there, spoke his funny language. I thought, where did he come from? Well, he happened to be from the Arab world. Now then, in the last 50 years, they have purchased our convenience stores. They have purchased our hotels. They're running places of business. They're building mosques. They're doing all kinds of things. In fact, right now, if you don't know it, in the Dallas Metroplex, they have their own Yellow Pages, which is that thick. If you've never seen a Muslim Yellow Pages, you have no idea how many Muslims are in the United States of America, and especially in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. But when they can have their own Yellow Pages, and it's a half inch thick, and they're only advertising Muslim to Muslim. And I'm going to tell you, just like when one of these men told me the other day, he said, I got a neighbor that's a Muslim. He said, I'm always talking to him about Jesus. And he told me the other day, he said, don't you ever talk to me again about Jesus. He said, because the day's going to come when we're going to declare jihad in America, and then I'm going to have to kill you as my neighbor. So don't talk to me no more. That's a Muslim neighbor. How would you like to have a neighbor like that? Well, see, most of us don't even know this is going on. The church is asleep. We do not know what we're doing. And last year, 4 years ago, if we'd have known what we were doing, we would have never put in the Democratic people we put in, because if the Christians in America had been real Christians, they would have voted him out. I mean, I knew this from way back, but I knew way back when Clinton run. I made a statement in my Baptist church years ago when I was a Southern Baptist, and I said, we won't have to worry about Clinton being president. I checked him out. I said, he's a drug runner from Arkansas. I said, this guy happened to be governor of Arkansas, but I said, he's involved in everything bad. I said, he's a pervert. I said, he runs around on his wife. I mean, he has sex with every woman he can have sex with. He has no morals, no ethics, no nothing. I said, anybody done any kind of research would never vote for Clinton. I stood up in church and made that little statement. And the next day they voted, and he went in with a landslide. 4 years later, I said, well, at least we've now seen for real what he's like. Nobody would vote for him again. And he got put in with a landslide a second time. I thought, the church is dead. That's why the church don't walk in power with God. That's why he don't ever answer our prayer. That's why when we pray for people, we never see nothing happen. I remember I was telling Roy a while ago. He said he just watched the video about Johnny Brumfield. He said, I'm going to get some of those and give them away to people. He said, that's awesome. I said, Roy, I remember a few years ago when I was a Sunday school teacher in the Baptist church and you and your wife come to my Sunday school class. And that Sunday I was telling a story about Ruth and Lisa, about how these two girls were sick and afflicted. And I was up in the Northeast, and after I'd spoken in an Assembly of God church, I asked those girls when they came in, this deacon that was staying at his house, he welcomed these two neighbors of his in, and they come in, he introduced me to these two girls. And I asked him, are you girls Christians? Well, yeah, we're Christians. I said, well, Ruth, where do you go to church? He said, well, I hardly ever go to church, once in a while. Not very often. I said, Lisa, how about you? I don't ever go to church. But you're a Christian? Yes. I said, would you girls mind sharing with me your medical history? I said, what makes you think we have a medical history? I said, if you're a Christian and you call yourself a Christian and you're not obeying God, I guarantee he has judged you. He has chastened you. He has disciplined you. And I said, you girls got a medical history. And Ruth said, well, yes, now that you mentioned it, I've just had surgery on my right shoulder. And they had to go in and put stainless steel bolts and pins in my shoulder and said, I still can't raise it up. And I said, well, Lisa, how about you? And she said, well, I've had back surgery 3 times and it's so painful. She said, they want to do another one, but the last time they put 2 stainless steel rods in my back, I can only bend over about 10 degrees and that's all the pain I can stand. But they want to do it again. And I told them, no, I ain't going through that again. I said, you girls are being judged by God for your stupidity of not putting him first. You don't hear many preachers talk like this, do you? No. I said, but how would you girls like to see Jesus heal you? And they said, what do you mean? I said, see, y'all are so dead, you don't even know what it means to be healed. I said, y'all don't even know Jesus as a healer. I said, but he is. I said, he's a miracle worker, and I know him, and I know how he works, because I'm in his word all the time. I said, Ruth, if you'll repent and tell God you're sorry for not going to church and make him a promise that you will go to church and you will serve him, you'll read his word. I said, I guarantee when I pray for you, he'll heal you. She looked at me and said, he will? I said, yes. So she looked up and she said, Lord, I'm so sorry that I've not obeyed you. I repent. I will go to church. I promise. I reached over and put my hand on her shoulder. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to turn all them stainless steel bolts and stuff into flesh and bone. And as I started to pray for her, that's when Roy jumped up and said, Thurman, wait a minute. I said, what's wrong, Roy? He said, I guess you're fixing to tell me you're going to pray and ask the Lord to turn that stainless steel into flesh and bone. I said, that's exactly what I did. He said, I knew that's what you were going to say. He said, how in the world do you get this kind of faith? I said, by reading the Word. Well, I'll tell you, Jerry, you wasn't the only one that thought I was crazy and lost my mind the first time you met me. I'll tell you that Jerry, he had never heard anything like this either. And the first time I talked to him, he knew I'd lost my mind. Well, that day, Roy, he knew I'd lost my mind too when I was going to ask the Lord to turn that metal into flesh and bone. But I asked the Lord to turn Ruth's steel in her shoulder into flesh and bone so she could raise it straight up. And I prayed. I said, now it's done. Raise your arm up. She said, now? I said, yes. She said, hi. I said, just raise it straight up. And she says, and her arm just shot straight up like this. She was instantly healed. And then all of a sudden, she's screaming, Lord, thank you. I'm healed. I have no pain in my shoulder. And Lisa's over there, Lord, please, I repent. Lord, I'll go to church. I'll do anything if you'll heal me. Now, isn't it amazing what we can do when we see the power of God demonstrated? And so I walked over there and slapped my hand on Lisa's back, right in the middle of her back. I said, Father, this girl, you heard her repenting. She says she'll go to church and serve you too. I said, Father, now turn all of her steel and her back into flesh and bone, where this girl that couldn't bend over but 10 degrees can reach over and touch her floor. I said, Father, thank you. It's done. You said I could ask for anything, and it's done. So I said, it's done in Jesus' name. I said, thank you, Lord. I said, Lisa, reach over and touch the floor. She went, whoa, and touched the floor with both hands and raised back up. Now then, what makes the difference? I'll tell you what makes the difference. It's the man that walks with God. It's not being a member of the Republican Party or the Democratic Party, but it's a man that will purify himself with God and hide himself in the Word of God and believe the Word of God is true. And then God shows up and these miracles like Dave was talking about a while ago. The church today does not do what God commanded us to do. So when we do what Dave said a while ago, we pray that prayer one time with one of those fantastic scriptures like Mark 11:23. And we stand there for a few minutes and nothing happens, we say, well, it don't work no more. Well, it's real easy to say, well, it's not God's fault. He just don't do that no more. Oh, yes, he does. He does do those things today. But he tells us in his word, you must come out from among the unbelievers and be ye separate. Then I will come and be your God and be your Father. Is that what he said, Bill? He ain't gonna do miracles for you if you're walking out there believing that homosexuality is the way people are made. You're gonna believe that? No. No, you can't believe that. If you're a believer that lying is okay, no, God's not gonna honor your. He tells you to be no lying whatsoever. You're to get rid of all lying and all deceit. Everything, you're to walk holy and pure before him. And when you walk holy and pure, he said, then I will be your God. Then I will be your Father. Then I will answer your prayers. Isn't it wonderful when he does that? I love it. I love it to see God do that. Just like that story that Roy was telling me about a while ago when he walked in and he told me, Thurman, I listened to your teaching on Johnny Brumfield. He said, that's the most awesome thing. But see, I mean, a few years ago, Roy thought I was crazy. Of course, Jerry did too, didn't you, Jerry? But I mean, that's okay. Now you know I ain't crazy, don't you, Jerry? Yeah, and Roy, you know I ain't crazy too, right? Because we see God do all these wonderful things. But let me tell you, I mean, I was a member of a church, you know, and I'd been in church all my life. And if somebody had walked in and told me these kind of things too, I'd have thought, ooh, that guy's lost his mind. He's got a problem. I've been in church all my life. I ain't never seen a healing. I ain't never seen a miracle. I ain't never seen nobody lay hands on nobody and they get healed. So they must be crazy, right? Yeah, they must be. But after you see it a few times and after you purify yourself and after you pray a few times and you see God show up, hey, it changes the way you look at things, don't it? Because God is telling us today, we're going to have to do something to change what's going to happen in November. I'm going to tell you, folks, if the church don't wake up, and I will have to say a few churches are waking up, and we're going to get involved in this just like some of the rest of them are. Many of the churches are already involved in a 40-day fast, which started 2 days ago. Cheryl and I started that, too, along with some others here. And Rosemary's on hers today. Charlie and Sandra or whoever, Joe, I don't know which one. But anyway, what I want to do the same thing for this election that we did for the Christmas last year, as we fasted and prayed in this church, at least one person every day for the 40 days before the Christmas deal we had last year, we saw God bring in the most money He ever brought in ever to buy Christmas for children and needy families. We bought Christmas for literally, I think, 700 families and I forget how many thousand. 5,300 children we bought Christmas for last year. 5,300 kids and 700 and something families got Christmas last year because this church fasted and prayed. And because we fasted and prayed, God brought the stuff in and He just done awesome things even beyond our wildest dreams. Yeah. So if He did that for the children, He loves children, but does He love people? Of course, He loves adults and all. He wants us to fast and pray to ask Him. And when we fast, when it comes your day to fast, don't just do without food. Spend time in His Word and pray. You know, when you're driving down the road, you know, pray and ask the Lord to do something wonderful. You know, I mean, ask Him to give the men and women that are going to be voting the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding to make the right decisions. You know, ask Him to give the men and the women that's going to be up there, whoever will be elected, to give them knowledge and wisdom to run our country. We need to pray. God told us to pray for our leaders so that we could live in peace. And let me tell you, we've had anything but peace. You know, when I look at what we're doing, it just breaks my heart. Breaks my heart to see that our president has so many times apologized for things. I mean, here we're getting men killed over there in Afghanistan, and he bows himself before the king of Saudi Arabia and bows and apologizes because we burned a Quran. You know, we ought to burn all of them. You know, far as I'm concerned, you know. I mean, those people over there, they're so, I don't even know the word I want to use. They're so dedicated to that stupid book they call the Quran. And that book is nothing but a book of death and hell and hate. Yet they call themselves peace lovers. I'm telling you, I'm going to tell you something. I've told you this before, but I want you to really soak it in your heart. If you know a Muslim or see a Muslim anywhere, don't trust them. You can talk to them about Jesus, but don't turn your back on one of them because they can look you right in the eye. Just like the other day, we had a nice long speech by the President of the United States, which declared he is a Christian. Did anybody hear him? Anybody hear President Obama say he's a Christian? You didn't hear that? It was an awesome speech that he declared he's a Christian and all kinds of things. But let me tell you what, according to this book, he's lying. He is not a Christian. I'm telling you, when I heard Urban Baxter, he heard the speech too. And he said, now that President Obama declared he's a Christian, said, so I don't have anything to do except just say he must be a Christian because he declared himself to be a Christian. He obviously, Urban doesn't understand the way Muslims work. The Quran literally says it's legal to lie to the infidel. And you and me are the infidels. So he is in the highest position in his country as a Muslim. They got a president now that's a Muslim. They got men in power, generals, with all kinds of information about our nuclear warheads and everything, where they are, how they operate, and they're all Muslims. So let me tell you, if we don't pray, I'm going to tell you. Within the next year, you're going to see a nuclear war on the soil of the United States of America. And if there's anything you don't want to be, that's just like here a while back. When I made a talk like this at church, one of the directors of, I don't know what do you call it, Homeland Security, I forgot now what they called it, but anyway, one of the directors in the Fort Worth, Dallas area that's over all this stuff, he called me and wanted to know where I got my information. He heard my CD. I told him, I said, it comes from God. I said, I know. He said, you believe there is a nuclear bomb in the Metroplex? I said, yes. I said, I don't know where it's at, but I believe the Muslims have got one here and they're ready to use it whenever the war starts in Afghanistan. He said, sir, I'm going to tell you the truth. He said, that's exactly what I've been told as a director, and we are looking for that bomb every day. But it's like looking for a needle in a haystack. Said, we don't know where it is, but said, we are looking for it. It's here. Yeah. Yeah, the war in Israel. Yeah, when the war in Israel starts. Now, if this man tells me, because of something I said in one of my messages, he listens to me, and he said, you are 100% right. We believe there is a nuclear bomb in the Metroplex, and we're looking for it. And he said, there may be more than one. How's that make you feel? A nuclear bomb on our soil. That's against us. Well, let me tell you what, I only know one that can stop that. You know, like I've said before, if a nuclear bomb goes off right outside my door, I know the one that can let me still be standing here after the bomb goes off. Amen. I know that one. Amen. I mean, just like he turned that steel in those people's bodies. I've seen the King do that several times for people. I mean, you have to have faith to believe. I mean, just like I've said many times, it all depends on how big your God is. Well, I don't know about yours, but mine made the universe. Amen. He controls the stars. And he's got them all numbered and named. So my faith and trust is totally in him. I have no fear of nothing. And all any of you that have known me very long know that I don't walk in fear of nothing but God. He's the only one I fear. And when I pray, I believe with all my heart he will answer my prayer for you when I pray for you. I love it, don't you? I love it when God shows up. But if there was ever a time in our life we need to pray and we need to do this, and really do this. So right now, I'm going to ask, starting this afternoon at 6 o'clock, we go from 6 till 6. So we have, Cheryl and I fasted. I know Sandra and Charlie fasted, and Rosemary's fasting right now. I don't know who else, but we have been fasting the last few days. But today at 6 o'clock, we need somebody else to take it up and pray and fast till tomorrow at 6 o'clock. So we'll call that, Judy. We'll put Judy down for Sunday afternoon to Monday. And now then, for Monday afternoon, we need somebody, Bill, both of you, Bill and Betty, both. Okay, they will. Now that we need Tuesday, Jackie. Okay, now who else what's the next day? We're on down to Wednesday, huh? Tuesday, so Wednesday afternoon at 3 or 6? Wednesday at 6. Who will take it at 6? Wednesday at 6. Thursday at 6. Who will take it? Hal. Yeah, Hal. He'll take it at 6 on Thursday. So we need somebody for Friday. Who will take it Friday? Okay, Friday. Well, Jerry and Camilla both got their hands. Both of y'all going to fast that day? Or one of you? Both of you? Both of you? Okay, both of you. Okay. And then Saturday afternoon till Sunday afternoon. Okay, who are we going to talk? Okay, Dave and Paula. Okay, we'll take Dave and Paula. And then, let's go ahead and... let's go back. Go ahead till next Sunday afternoon at 6. You want to take that? What is your name? I forget. Gloria. Yes, I couldn't remember. Gloria. Yes, Gloria. Gloria's taking Sunday at 6. Okay, then next Sunday we'll start over again. Is that okay? Did you want to? Do you want to be with your husband? Okay. Yeah, she's going to be. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now then, when? Yes, Bill.
6 p.m.
Till 6 p.m. 1 24-hour period. Yeah, we start at 6 p.m. in the afternoon, and until 6 p.m. the next day.
And.
Yeah. So, but when you, if you do it just like we did, you know, for the children, you know, when it's your day to fast and pray, fast, and seek the Lord. You know, don't just go without food. You know, that don't do nothing for you, just going without food. But going without food and talking to the Lord, driving down the road, talking to the Lord. When you're washing dishes or whenever you're walking down the road or taking a walk or whatever, or just get in your room, sit down and just open the Bible, read a few verses, and then, Lord, we need help. Lord, you said any man lack wisdom, let him ask you. Well, Lord, we need wisdom. You know, we need to know what to do. So let's make sure that in the next few weeks until the 6th of November, that we fast and pray and we're serious with God. You know, I mean, I've already found out there's several other churches, some big ones, that are doing the same thing as we are. You know, so, I mean, it's amazing what happens when we ask God in faith. Do y'all remember just a little short while back how dry it had been here? And I just said, okay, folks, we need to pray and ask the Lord to give us some rain. So we prayed, all of us, that Sunday afternoon. And we got rain on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Just a little, about a quarter inch each day, but just a little. But we got rain 3 days in a row. And then the next Sunday, we praised Him and thanked Him for that little rain. And I said, Lord, we need a good rain. We need 6 or 7 inches of rain, Lord. We need a good rain. And that week, what did He do? He sent us 6.5 inches of rain. I mean, my goodness gracious alive. And He's still doing it now, Lord. I've been asking the Lord since then. I said, Lord, I ask you to water all of West Texas. You know, Lord, please bring water out into West Texas. And I know there's got to be many other people praying besides me, probably some of y'all too. But do y'all hear yesterday that Midland got 4 inches of rain in one day? Midland, Odessa got 4 inches. They said this was a record. They got more inches. I don't think they had, but like 10 or 12 inches for a year. And they got 4 inches day before yesterday. So, I mean, does God answer prayer?
Oh, yeah.
When we pray in faith, He does. You know, oh yes, by the way, and now for those of you that don't know, I was just talking to Tony a while ago, and he said that, he asked me, did you feel the earthquake last night at 11 o'clock? And I told him, no, I did not, but I did see it on the internet news. He said, they live in Grapevine, and they felt it. He said, it felt like a truck hit his house last night. Well, maybe we also, while we're fasting and praying, we need to pray and ask the Lord to protect us and help us to walk holy and clean and pure through this whole thing, because His obedient children, did He say that if we come out from among them, He will watch over us and protect us?
Amen.
Yes, He did. Now then, you know, He really does. Now there, I'm going to read these things out of Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, and we're going to get into our teaching today. Wow, it's already 3:30. But Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, and I want to show you some things that the Lord says there. I just stand amazed at what the Democratic Convention is doing, and the people that profess to be Democrats, how they're believing in everything it seems that God hates. And so anyway, I want you to look at this. These 6 things doth the Lord hate, yea, 7 are an abomination unto Him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Wow. Now right there in those first 3, that's pretty awesome, isn't it? And they do all of those things. So I'm just telling you, it's coming to the place in your life where you're going to have to forget, I've been a Democrat or I've been a Republican. You're going to have to just get over that. And you're going to have to say, I'm a Christian. I'm going to vote for men and women that walk in the integrity of the Word of God, and they use the Word of God on their platform. If they do not, I don't care if I've been a Democrat forever, but I know people in my family that have been Democrats forever, and they don't check out nobody. They just vote Democrat. They can't be wrong if you're a Democrat. Well, let me tell you, that's got to pass. I mean, if you're Christians. If you're a Christian, you've got to look at what God says in His Word. Then you have to vote accordingly to what God says. And just look what He says here. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. I mean, as I heard that speech that Obama made about America and how he is a Christian and all, I thought, I mean, you know, when you look at what he does anything he do line up with the Word of God?
No.
Nothing.
Not
I mean, not nothing. So, I mean, you know, so I tell you, I mean, so I'm going to be your pastor. Yeah, and I'm your pastor. And they said, well, what do you do? I said, well, you know, I sleep with a different woman every night. I smoke 3 packs of cigarettes every day. I drink a fifth of booze every day. So, but I'm going to be a good pastor. Now, can you believe that? No, there ain't no way I can be a good pastor and do that kind of junk, because everything I just told you that I do, God told me not to do. Is that right? So how can I possibly be a good pastor if I'm breaking the Word of God? Now then, if I'm walking holy before God, and I got one woman, and I'm faithful to her, and she's faithful to me, and we're walking in love with everybody, we're helping the poor and the needy, we're doing all the things, we're stay as far from perversion things that tear up our body as we possibly can, no smoking, no drinking, no drugs, none of those things, I'm staying as far from all that as I can, and I'm walking pure and holy in line with God's Word, then I might be a good pastor for you to come be a part of. You know, because chances are, if I'm doing all those things and I'm walking in faith, when I pray for you, He's going to answer my prayer. And I know that all of you that have been here and have gotten an answer to prayer from this ministry, you're grateful for those answers. And if I've taught you how to walk in it and you're learning how to get your own answers, you're even more grateful. Because God, He's not going to hear your prayer, you know, if you don't walk in obedience to His Word. Let's go to the next verse 18. A heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Now, if you do any of those things, God is not happy with you. And all those things are going on in our government offices right now. All of them. You cannot, as a Christian, you cannot be a Democrat. Not really. Because after I heard them the other day talking about what they believe and how they believe, you know, that you can't be a good Democrat. This is the Democratic Party. This last week in a deal I was listening to, if you don't believe in lesbian, gay, and homosexuality, you can't be a good Democrat. That's what they were saying. I thought, well, then I couldn't be a good Democrat. Could you, Lucky?
I think you're saying there aren't any good ones.
There ain't. That's right. There's not any good ones. I mean, they're good in their own eyes. They're not good in God's eyes. You know, not at all. But, you know, everything that when you look at what God tells us to do, if you're not doing that, well, that's just like, I guess I could have said a while ago on all them things, if I told you I am a Christian, not just I'm going to be your pastor, but let's just say I was just a Christian, and that's unfortunate. I know people that believe this. I am a Christian. I call myself a Christian, but yet I am running around with the wild women. I'm in the drug scene. I'm doing everything that's wrong. You know, you see people like that. You see people that say, well, I'm a Christian. I got saved when I was 15. I mean, I walked down the aisle to Baptist Church, and they told me once saved, always saved. So I'm going to sow my wild oats for a few years, and then one day when I get old, I'll come back to Jesus. No. I remember the young man that was 28 years old. I was sitting in a restaurant, a cafeteria out at work. I was talking to him about Jesus. He said, Mr. Scrivener, I ain't ready to be a Christian yet. He said, I got a lot of wild oats to sow, and I'm having fun. I said, son, but you don't know how long you're going to live. He said, I'm going to live a long time. I said, nobody knows that, son. I said, you know, right now Jesus is calling you to make Him the Lord of your life. No, I'm not interested. I don't even want to talk about it. I said, well, okay, I'm sorry. The next weekend, the boy went out to one of his wild parties and sowed some wild oats. And he got some drugs and some alcohol, and he had a Jeep. And he was so wiped out when he started to go home after the party, he did not fasten his seatbelt. And as he's driving, he misses a corner, runs up on a curb real high there. It's got a real steep deal there. And gets up on the curb real high, and as he does, he loses control of himself, and he falls out onto the concrete, and then the Jeep rolls over on top of him. And his life's over. Dead. I can see him now. 1 second after he died. Oh, God, send Mr. Scrivener one more time. It's too late. He said, I sent him the other day at the cafeteria, and he talked with you. He pleaded with you and you would not listen to him. And so I'm sorry. Now you're going to spend eternity in hell. Do you think that boy, many times since then, has wished he had listened to what I said?
Yeah.
They all will. Just like Luke 16, when the rich man says, "Lord, put Lazarus over to him. Put his tongue in that cool water. And put his finger in that cool water. Put it on my tongue because I'm in agony in this flame." Can you imagine that? I really can't. I don't even want to think about it. But that's what fires me to continue to tell them. I want everybody to know about Jesus. Wow, they all need to know about Jesus. And who knows? You know, that you can't ever tell. I mean, yeah, last night at 11 o'clock, we had two earthquakes. I didn't feel either one of them, but Tony and Jackie and several other. Judy, did you feel it where you live? No, you didn't feel it? In Fort Worth? I don't know. But all I know is if it was there and it was that bad and you felt like a truck hit your house, I mean, that's a big enough earthquake for me. Isn't it you? So can you imagine the 9.0 that hit Japan when the people looked up and the cars and trucks are washing over the wall and a 100-foot wall of water is coming in and washing houses away and killing people by the thousands? Can you even imagine that? No, I can't even imagine that. But we all saw that on television, didn't we? We all saw it on the Internet. It happened. Could it happen here? Yes, it could. It could happen here. So if it happens to us, I know God looks at death different than we do, but if I die in one of those, my problems are over. I get to go on to be with the King. You know, so I can only die once physically. He tells me clearly in His Word, don't fear him who that can just kill your body, but fear him who can kill your body and then cast your soul into hell. You know who that is? The first one was the devil. The second one's God. Because God's the only one that can cast your soul into a living hell. The devil can't do that. God is the one that does that. So there's only one on this earth you need to be afraid of, and that's God. You need to stand in reverent fear of the King. I mean, always realize He's God, and He can do anything He wants to. I mean, just like I told you a while ago, those stories about those women with that stainless steel in their body, He can turn that stainless steel into flesh and bone just like that. He can heal your body just like that, or He can kill your body just like that, or He can kill it slowly. He can do it any way He wants to. So stand on His Word, stand on His promises, and see the glory of God. That's what you need to do. Okay. Wow. Luke 8, verses 1 through 39. Luke chapter 8, verse 1 through 39. That's where we'll start. We'll see how far we get. Luke 8, 1 through 39. And it came to pass afterwards that he went through every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. The kingdom of God. Jesus is preaching the kingdom, the power, the dominion, the authority that He's given to us as His children. Just like Dave talked about a while ago, part of the promises of the kingdom of God is being able to stand by faith on Mark 11:23 and see what you say come to pass. Isn't that awesome? That's the kingdom. That's the principles of the kingdom of God. And most of us don't even believe it. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. Now, you know, people read that and think, no, nobody. She, this lovely little woman, she didn't have seven demons living inside her. But, you know, people do have demons living inside of them. You know that? You know, so, I mean, just like in this book where he talks about over in the Gadarenes where the man had a legion of demons. You know, I've never seen a legion of demons in somebody, but I've seen 2,823 in one woman. One woman, 2,823 demons. I've seen that. And that day, before the day was over, we got that girl completely set free. And it says, these women were going with him Now, why do you think all these women that had been healed and demons cast out of them, why do you think these women were following along where Jesus went? They had found something that worked. And they wanted to go with him and minister to him. They wanted to take part with him. They were going to bless him somehow, some way. So let's see what happened, verse 3 and 4. And Joanna, the wife of Chuzu, Herod's steward. What? You mean Jesus would heal somebody like that? I guess he will, won't he? And Susanna and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. Now then, these women that had been healed, some of these women were women of position and power. They had money. So these women went with Jesus, and if he needed money, they give it to him. They met his need. You know, I will have to say, in the ministry, if you're about God's business and you're doing what he says, if you need money for something, God will see to it that you have the money you need to buy whatever you need for his kingdom. Amen. He will do it. Just like last year when we fasted and prayed, I have never seen what I saw last year at Christmas when I saw God bring in, what was it, $89,400 to buy Christmas for 5,000 plus children and over 700 families. Who would have ever dreamed that we as a church could have Christmas for that many people? And many of you had a big part in that. Many of you gave many of your own dollars, and then people sent money from all over. I mean, I'll never forget that day that Cheryl was praying, Lord, on Monday, Lord, we're out of money. We got to have some more money to buy some more Christmas trees for these kids, Lord. And on Wednesday, she got a check that had been mailed on Monday. She prayed on Monday. The check had been mailed on Monday, and she got it on Wednesday, and the check was for $7,500. One check. It just broke her into tears. You know, she couldn't even talk. She was out of breath. Let me tell you, when Cheryl's out of talk, something big happened. So that girl, she could talk. Praise the Lord. She couldn't talk that day. All she could do is put her head down and cry and wave that piece of paper. That's $7,500. You know how many things you can buy for Christmas with $7,500? A lot. And so some of y'all had the privilege to go with her and do all this. But these girls, they ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spoke by a parable. He's always doing something like this. Let's see what this parable is. Verse 5 and 6. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell among rocks, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. 7 and 8. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground, and it sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He's still saying that to us today. You that have ears to hear, just like that story I told you a while ago, that young man, when I said, you know, you could get into the kingdom of God today if you'll just accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Oh, he wasn't interested. He wanted to sow his wild oats. Wow. Do you know, you ain't never experienced what wild oats are until you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he will put oats, I don't know whether they're wild or tame, but man, he can give you oats beyond your wildest dreams. You know that? He can give you things that you can't even think about that's so good. You don't have to be evil to have fun. In fact, that kind of fun's not fun. You know, real fun is knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Serving him, putting him first, that's real fun. I mean, that's real fun, praise the Lord. So then he says here in verse 9 and 10, And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. See, now when you begin to get a hold of this, you understand how people some people can come to church and they hear certain things about the kingdom, and all these different things that happen to them happen. I mean, once in a while you'll... In fact, I remember Billy's wife. When Billy's wife, they live in West Texas. Ann is her name. I remember when they first heard about this ministry, she had been given a diagnosis with a heart failure, and that she might have 6 months at best to live before she died. They come to a healing school. I prayed for her. She sat there through 4 hours. They took many teachings with them, and they listened. But next time she went to the doctor, the results wasn't any better. She was still the same way. And so they came the next month to another healing school, and they listened for another 4 or 5 hours. And then they took CDs and DVDs. They went through this about 4 times. I mean, they were diligent. I mean, at least 4 times. She's hearing and hearing, and he's hearing. And finally, that 4th time, when they came up for prayer, she said, "Pastor, this time I got it. I know I'm healed." There was no doubt in her heart. She goes back home. She goes to a doctor and said, "Doc, I got a brand new heart. Thurman asked the Lord to put me a brand new heart in me." He said, "The Lord's got a whole office full of spare parts up there. And so Thurman asked him to give me a brand new heart. So I know if Thurman asked him to give me a brand new heart, I know God gave me a brand new heart." She said, "I feel great, but I don't go by what I feel. I just go by what's written." So since he said he could ask the Lord for anything, he'd do it. "I know the Lord has given me a brand new heart." And the doctor said, "Okay, sure, Ann, no problem." You know how they are, right? You know, most doctors don't have any faith. Thank God for good doctors, but most doctors don't have any faith. So anyway, the doctor checked her. And when he come back out, he said, "Ann, this is impossible." He said, "I have been a heart doctor for 25 years, and I have never seen anything like this in my life." He said, "According to all the stuff I've done in X-ray, you have a brand new heart." Isn't it amazing what God will do when we do something in faith? I mean, just think. But did you notice she didn't get it the first time, the second time, the third time, finally the 4th time? Because look what the Lord says here. Let's see what happens here. Let's go down to verse 11 and 12. "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God." Now we all know he sent his word and healed us and delivered us and saved us and everything, right? We know that the parable, the seed is the word of God. "Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved," or be healed. That word there is sozo in the original. So, those by the wayside are they that hear. In other words, that's all of you. Some of you, when you come to church, some of you hear, some of you sleep through my sermons. I hope not. I hope nobody sleeps through my sermons. Yes, they do too. I just happen to think about a little girl sleeps on the front row up here nearly every Sunday. I just happen to think about that. But anyway, we all come to hear his word. He said, "Those by the wayside are they that hear." And after we hear, then who comes by our house? The devil. He comes, and what does he do? He may be sitting on the banister out there on the exit from the church. When you go out, he says, "Oh, there comes Kim. She didn't say I couldn't steal it out of her heart. So let me reach in there and steal everything she learned today right out of her heart." Is that what he says? The devil reaches in your heart and steals those words right out of your heart. Is that what it said? So do you think he can possibly do that?
If I let him.
If you let him, that's exactly right. That's the secret. What that young lady said right there. If you let him steal those words out of your heart, he will. So just Dave prays this prayer nearly every Sunday. I don't know if y'all notice that or not, but he always prays the Lord. I command the evil to get out of here and not to steal anything out of our hearts. You know, he speaks that often. So as he does that, and he speaks that in faith, then the devils that are sitting out on the front porch waiting for y'all to come out, he says, oh, well, that Dave, he prayed that prayer again. So I guess we have to go because he's prayed that we got to leave. And so they all go away. Of course, if you put it in your heart, everything you hear today, you say, Lord, I thank you that you've given me all power and all authority over the evil one. And Satan, I command you to get out of here because it's written in Luke 10, 19 and 20. You have to be subject to me. I will not let you steal one single word out of my heart today in the name of Jesus. Now, that's how you keep him from doing it. And so then, you know, I know none of y'all have ever done this but me. I've done this lots of times. I'd go somewhere and hear a good message. And then I'd get up and go to lunch. I'd get over to the lunch room or the restaurant or whatever. And somebody said, Thurman, where you been? I said, man, I've been to church. Well, I said, man, the preacher had a great message today. What did he preach on? I don't remember. Who stole that? The devil did. Who stole that right out of my... No, none of y'all ever done that besides me, right? Yeah, all of you have done that. I know you have. You know, if you're not careful, you'll get out of here today, and before you get home, you need to ask the other, what did Thurman talk about today? You need to kind of refresh these things in your mind so that you'll know what we talked about. Because he says there that the devil comes and takes away the word out of your heart, lest they should believe and be healed. That word healed is saved and made whole. That word sozo is in the original New Testament. So it means all those things. So do you think the enemy wants you to be healed? Oh, no. Do you think he would steal that word out of your heart if he possibly could? If you let him? Yes, I guarantee he will steal it right out of your heart. Well, you got to keep him from doing it. So let's see what the next verse says. They on the rock are they which when they hear, they receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. They come and they hear it, and man, they're all great. Praise God. You know, I think about Sharon. When Sharon come to me the first time, my basket case over here, this girl had brain tumors. She had back trouble. She had allergies, asthma. She had everything. And she come and heard the word the first time. 4 hours, I'll never forget, when she come up for prayer, she said, Pastor, I've never heard the word talked about like this. But she said, you know, I've been prayed for hundreds of times and not with no results. And I said, well, you've never done it God's way, Sharon. I said, have you repented of sin? She said, well, I guess not. I said, you need to repent of sin. I said, then what verse do you use to base your faith on? Verse. We never used a verse. I said, and you see what you got? Nothing. So I said, when you do it God's way, I said, then you're going to have somebody pray for you in faith. And I'm going to guarantee you, girl, when I pray for you, since we're going to do it God's way, you're going to repent of sin. We're going to find us a verse, and I'm going to pray in faith. I'm going to guarantee you, girl, when I pray, God's going to heal you. And that day, Sharon got healed of everything wrong with her. But now, I told you all this to tell you what the rest of this said. She did not, after she got healed. So this is what some people will do. She gets healed, and so she said, well, I'm healed now. I don't need to go back to church no more. Isn't that what some people do, Sharon? Oh, I don't need to go back. I mean, I got healed last Sunday, so why should I go back? I might go back out there once every 2 or 3 months if I get a chance. Now, let me tell you what this girl did. This girl, every time the door was open, I saw her. I didn't care if it was a 4-hour healing school, she was there. I don't care if it was a Tuesday night Bible study for 2 hours, she was there. I don't care if it was Sunday afternoon from 2 to 5, she was there. And then all time in between, she was reading her Bible, seeing if what I was saying was the same thing her Bible said. She became a diligent person in God's Word. So years later, 6 or 8 or whatever years is later, she's still basically doing the same thing. And you look at that beautiful girl over there, she looks sick? No. She's still well. Why is she still well? Because she's a diligent student of the Word of God. Right, Jackie? I mean, does God honor diligence? Yes, He does. I guarantee He does. But see, some people... just like that one young boy come in here one day and he said, I got this problem. I want you to pray for me. So he sat here through 2 hours of teaching. And then I prayed. When he came up for prayer, I prayed for him. I said, now you got to believe. He said, I believe. He thought he believed. But next Sunday, he's back. When he come back, I said, well, how are you doing? He said, well, I didn't get healed last week. I said, oh, you didn't? He said, no. See, he didn't believe. He's confessing I didn't get healed. So I said, well, okay, so we'll pray for you again. And I said, if you confess your sin, well, yes. I said, have you asked the Lord why you didn't get healed? No, I didn't. I said, why don't you ask him? So he has to go to the bathroom. So he goes to the bathroom. While he's in the bathroom, he says, Lord, who would think God would go in the bathroom with you, huh? Isn't that amazing? He's in there using the bathroom. He said, Lord, I know Thurman had to pray for me in faith, so why didn't I get healed? He said, the Lord spoke to me just as clear and said, you didn't get healed because you didn't believe. You didn't believe. So he come back at her and he said, I asked the Lord and he told me. I said, well, praise God. What did he say? He said, I didn't believe. I said, okay, are you going to believe this time? He says, yes. I said, okay. I prayed for that boy again. And to the best of my knowledge, he got healed that day. But where is he? I don't see him no more. That's what Cheryl has tells me often. She said, I can't believe the people that have come to you in the last 20 years and you prayed for them and they get healed and they come to church out here for a month or two and then they quit coming. She said, I got healed here 10 years ago and she said, I ain't never quit coming. Well, she can't now. I mean, I really locked her in. I married her, so, you know. Isn't that something? But I'll tell you what, this girl will tell you anytime you ask her, she is glad she married this boy. Amen. She is so glad that I am her husband, and I'm so glad she's my wife. So we got a mutual agreement here. I love this girl, she loves me, and we don't have any problem having a Bible study together. We in the Word of God all the time. But it says, if you and that which fell among thorns, or they which when they have heard, they go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of the life, and they bring no fruit to perfection. So you don't get healed. You forget who God really was. You have to be diligent. Now then, verse 15 and 16. But that on the good ground are they which in a honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. That's something that we all do so well. You agree with that? Are you a patient girl? No, she's not, huh? Is that what Mom was just talking about?
No, she's talking about praying to be healed.
Oh, talking about praying to be healed, huh?
Something's telling her not to. Something's telling her. I said, where do you think that's coming from?
Oh, yes. Remember, from what we're teaching, you would understand clearly where that's coming from, wouldn't you, young lady? Anytime, if you have a problem and you need to be healed, and there's something telling you not to do it, who do you think that is? You think that might be God telling you not to come up for prayer? You don't think so. You're smarter now, aren't you, girl? Yeah. So who do you think that critter might be? You reckon his name might be the devil? Sure. Isn't that amazing how the enemy works? He'll do everything in the world. That's just like, I'll tell you, when we were out in New Mexico here a couple of years ago, I guess it was. That was the year before Vernon Cannon died. Vernon Cannon, he came to Dallas when we were over in Dallas to a healing school from Hobbs, New Mexico, and Vernon had dyslexia. And he was like 70 years old when he came, and he had never been able to read in his life because of dyslexia. Never couldn't read. Impossible. He didn't tell his own children he couldn't read. Of course, he never read nothing to them. He lived in Hobbs, New Mexico, so he knew the town like the back of his hand. He knew everything. He didn't need to read nothing. But he knew where everything was. But his son, which was about 50 at that time, he didn't know that his dad had this, but his dad heard me on GLC, and so he decided to come here and come to a healing school. So they came to a couple of healing schools from Hobbs, New Mexico. Now, let me tell you, that's an 8 or 10 hour drive from Hobbs here. That's a long ways. But they came to come to a healing school. They listened. And finally, the last time he was there, he come up and he said, Pastor, I've got it. It's mine. I said, okay, I'm going to pray for you, Vernon. And I'm going to pray with Mark 11:23. and then I'm going to tell you that all you got to do is go from here and praise and worship the Lord and thank Him that you can read perfect in the name of Jesus. And so I prayed. Him and his wife were both there. I prayed, and they left. And he walked out the door and said, "Oh, honey, praise God, I can read those signs over there." She said, "Well, tell me what they say." He said, "Well, I can't really tell you what they say yet, but I'm going to be able to before long." But his confession was, "I can read." So he said, "I went to church. I did everything." He was in, a big Baptist church out there. And about 3 months, his wife now, he was saying it all the time. "Thank you, Lord. Mark 11:23 says, I can have what I say with my mouth if I believe with my heart, so I can read. Thank you, Lord, I can read." And of course, at first, his wife would say, "You can read." She'd hand him a menu. She said, "Can you read?" He said, "Yes, I can read that. What do you want?" "I want a chicken fried steak." She said, "That's not what that says there." He said, "That's what I want." He knew what he wanted. He said, "I can read. I can read. The Word of God says I can read." You know, so she finally quit asking him. You know, she thinks, "Oh, you know, he's just saying that." But he is saying that in faith. He said about 3 months came and go, and said his wife had completely quit asking. Every time he'd say, "I can read," she don't even pay him no attention. Because she knows he can't read. But he's declaring the Word of God. He said, one morning we get into church. I'm sitting there on the front row. And when they get ready to sing, they put the words up on there. I said, "Lord, thank you, I can read." And he said, I looked down and I stood up. And when I stood up, every word on that deal was perfect. He could see everything perfect. From that day forth, Vernon could read perfect. He began to scream, "Praise God, I can read, I can read, I can read." And his wife said, "I knew it was real this time. I really knew it was real. He could really read." And so his son said, when he came to a healing school later, he said, "You know, I had no idea that Dad could not read." He said, "I was raised in a home, my dad, all my life, and never saw Dad read a newspaper, the Bible, or nothing. I did not understand he couldn't read." But he said, after he come here and the Lord healed him, he said, "Every time I go home, you know what Dad's doing?" I said, "What?" He said, "Reading the Word of God." He said, "He's sitting there." He said, "Son, this is so wonderful to be able to read this book." Isn't it awesome? But Vernon also is the one that he was at one of the meetings we were out there at Hobbs, and he said, when Bailey got sick, Bailey Waldrop, and we got her testimony back there, he said, whenever Bailey got sick, he said, "I was praying about that." He said, "The Lord literally spoke to me and told me, 'Vernon, go tell Bailey's mother and dad to take Bailey to Thurman, and I will heal her.'" And he said, I just couldn't do it. And he said, later the Lord told me a second time, "Vernon." Now, here's a man that's seen God heal him, but he cannot muster up the faith yet. When the audible voice of God told him the second time, "Vernon, go tell Bailey's parents to take her to Thurman and I will heal her." And he couldn't do it. He told us, he said, "I'm so sorry." He said, "Thurman," after Bailey got healed, the Lord sent a man that nobody knew. He just took a CD and he just walked up to Bailey's dad and said, "Here is a CD by Thurman Scrivener. If you will listen to the CD and then you will take your daughter to one of his healing schools, the Lord will heal your daughter." And they did. And he did. And the Lord healed that little girl. Do you think God knows who his men of faith are? Aren't you glad that we're one of them? I'm glad I'm a man that God can use for His glory. If I could only get to the point where I could just believe Him unconditionally, Bill, wouldn't it be awesome? He's working. He's working. Yeah, just keep on it. We're working on it. Praise the Lord. Look at what verse 16 says. "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covers it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light." When you get prayed for and God does something for you, should you keep that hidden? Oh, no. I mean, you should tell everybody. That's just like me when I received Jesus Christ as my personal healer 30-something years ago. I have been telling people ever since what Jesus done for me. And I won't never quit telling you that Jesus, He bore my sickness and removed my disease. So I received Jesus as my personal healer by faith in His Word. And I don't have to be sick no more. Isn't it wonderful? It is so wonderful. Praise God. Wow, what a God we serve. Now then, in the interest of time, I want to go to 1 Peter 5, verses 5 through 11. We'll cover the rest of those another day. 1 Peter 5, 5 through 11. Look at this. 1 Peter 5, 5 through 11. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and he giveth grace to the humble. Should we all submit one to another? Yes. You know, there's not any of us any better than the other. We're all just children of God. He gives all of us a different position, a different place with him to do things. But the day you think you're better than somebody else, that's the day you're getting ready for a fall. You can't go there. You know, God does not honor. It don't make any difference how much money you got, how powerful you are, or nothing. You have to humble yourself before God and walk humble in his presence. Because he does not like for you to be proud and puffed up. So submit yourselves unto the elder, or the older ones. The younger ones are supposed to submit to the elders. Yea, all of you are to be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, every time I read that scripture, I think about my son when he got so upset when they throwed Tom Landry out of the Cowboys. I mean, Tim loved Tom Landry. I mean, he was a fantastic Christian man, and Tim knew he was. And when they fired him, he just walked off. And Tim says, Dad, I can't believe they did that to one of the best coaches that's ever been in history. I said, Son, that man is a man of God. He humbled himself before God. I guarantee God will exalt Tom Landry. So I said, you just watch and see what God does with Tom Landry. Well, it wasn't but just a few weeks later, Tim was watching TV, and there's Tom Landry sitting in the back of a convertible coming down the main street of downtown Dallas with millions of people watching him on TV and everybody clapping and praise, you know, saying all kinds of good things. I said, what did I tell you? Look what God did to Tom Landry. He humbled himself and walked off, and God exalted him. He didn't say a word bad about nobody. It takes a real man to do what he did. That's a real man or a real woman. Verse 7 and 8. Cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. Now that's pretty hard to do, you know, but that's what we need to learn to do. And then he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Just think, the devil, Charlie, the devil is coming up and he's looking you over. He said, I wonder if Charlie's committed any sins lately. Let's see, he got any doors open that I can get in? Yeah. See, what he's doing?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, he's looking. And if he finds an open door, guess what he's going to do to you?
Kill me.
He's going to come in. That's exactly right. So you've got to walk in obedience to God's word. He says there, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Did you see what I saw in that scripture? How many of you know anything about lions? You ever been into the lion country where real lions are? You ever see a young lion out there hunting for anything? You ever see him out there roaring? No, he don't roar. This guy is roaring around. He's like a roaring lion, but only the old toothless lions do that. The young lions that have got teeth and power, they're sneaking through the grass on their belly, getting close to that little gazelle, and then all of a sudden they leap out and they pounce on him, and never a growl or nothing. When they get their claws in him and throw him on the ground and start tearing him up, then they start eating and having a good time. They still ain't roaring. They're still not doing nothing. They're just eating. And now all of a sudden, here's the old boy, the toothless boy. the old man, you might say, the grandpa. He comes up and says, "Roar!" And guess what all them young boys do? They run off because they're afraid of him. He ain't got a tooth in his head. He is just bluffing. Why do you think the Lord put him like that? He's the devil. If as long as we're walking in obedience to God's word, he may come up and roar and do everything, Charlie, but he can't touch you if you ain't got a legal right to you, can he?
Nope.
No. So see, he'll roar to scare you. Yeah, he's good at that. He'll run right up in your face and just open that big old mouth and say, "Rah, I'm going to get you." But as long as you know you ain't got no sin in your life, you stand your ground. You stand fast against the enemy, just like the word says. Let's see what he says to do. See what the Lord tells us to do in verse 9 and 10. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brother and are in the world. So when the devil comes like this roaring lion and he starts roaring and you have no sin in your life, if he comes against you with everything he's got, what are you to do? Stand. Stand fast. You know you ain't got no sin in your life. You know you're walking in obedience to God's word. But you know how hard it is? Have you ever really put this to the test? Some of you, I hate to say this, but some of y'all, if a little mouse were to run through here right now, you know what some of y'all would be doing? You would be standing up in the pews screaming. A little mouse. I get so tickled. In fact, the other day, I'd piled up some rock down here where I was working, and I went down there. I was going to move the rocks. A few, several days went by. I thought, well, I'll move those rocks because I don't want to hit them with a mower when the season comes along. This was in the early spring. And so I started moving the rocks, and as I did, I started uncovering little mouse beds. Yeah, their little nest. And a mother mouse, you know, big old mother mouse, you know, about that long, you know, come running out of there, you know. I said, "Whoa, there's a mouse, you know." And then, of course, look, there's three or four little ones there. And then I'd go stomping around trying to get that and everything. And so I started moving those rocks. And there was three or four of them in there. So now their mice are running everywhere. Man, I'm stomping them little critters trying to get them. And all of a sudden, one of them run right up my britches leg. When he run our bitch, I fell right there. I grabbed him right there. I said, "Ah!" I squeezed him real good, and I turned him loose and chucked him out my bridge's leg. I thought, wow. I just thought to myself, I wonder what would have happened if I'd had my wife down there with me. She'd have been in the car, she said. Now then, if we are afraid of a dinky little mouse, what do you think is going to happen when the devil comes roaring at us?
I'd rather face a bear.
You'd rather fight the bear. I mean, I've tried my best around here. These girls that work around here, I do things to them once in a while. I'll say things, sneak up behind them, you know, and say something to them. And when they jump, like I say, you know, I'm going to make some faith girls out of y'all yet. I'm going to teach you, you're not going to jump and run and do that. I said, you're going to be afraid of nothing. If you're going to work for this ministry, I want you to be rock solid. Amen. Is that the way we should be?
Amen.
We shouldn't be afraid of nothing. What did the Lord tell us there? To resist him. When the devil comes like a roaring lion, resist steadfast in the faith. I don't care what he attacks you with. I don't care what he puts on you. Make sure your sins are confessed and then come against him with, "It is written." Stand on the word of God. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. These are happening everywhere. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while. Now, I don't like this. He could have left this out. How many of y'all like suffering?
No.
Nobody likes suffering. Unfortunately, that's the way he works. After you have suffered a while, he will make you perfect, establish strength, and settle you. Verse 11. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. One last scripture, Hebrews 10:35 through 39. We can't leave this out. This won't take but a second. Hebrews 10:35 through 39. Look what that says. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience. You know, I mean, this when it comes to the healing ministry, most of the time when I see people healed, it's not an instantaneous miracle. Usually it's a process of healing. Like Johnny Brumfield, that was an instantaneous miracle. Ed Brock, 1986, with stage 4 lymphoma, terminal cancer, going to die in a week or two. It took 6 months for Ed to get well, but he's still well. That's been, 25, 30 years ago. It says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. I heard a lady on Daystar last week. She had come down with terminal cancer. Doctor said, it's over. You can't live. So she was a woman of God. So she goes home and she starts going through the Bible and writing down book, chapter, and verse of promises and starts writing them down. But in the next few weeks, she wrote down 135 promises. She called God in remembrance of those 135 promises every morning. Every day she read that list of 135 verses. It took her several months, but she came out on the other side completely healed. Now, her daughter was telling her mother's story. She said, Mother has been healed for a long time now. Many years she's been completely healed. But she said, you know what my mother still does every day? She reads those 135 promises every morning. Now, see, that's the diligence that God wants us to have. But so many people are the ones that where that seed, the Word of God, is sown, they come and pick it up and their healing starts, and then they don't come back to church no more. And the sickness comes back on them and they die early. That's not God's way. He wants you to stay in His Word. He wants you to serve Him and love Him and worship Him and praise Him until your life is over on this earth. Is that right? That's exactly what He wants. He wants you to put Him first. Steve, what do you think about that? Do you think God wants us to put Him first in everything we do?
That's what we have to strive to do every day.
That's what we have to strive to do every day, yeah. And when we do, wow. I asked Steve a while ago when he came in, I said, son, how you doing? He said, I am absolutely fantastically wonderful. I thought to myself, I don't know why I even asked Steve. I know how he's going to feel. I've known him for a while. I know that man never has a bad day. I don't care what happens. Is that right, Steve?
Trials come.
Trials come. Yeah. But I mean, he is a man of God. And that's the way we should all be, right?
Amen.
Okay, praise the Lord.